everybody. Welcome back to Arcade Cozy, the coziest gamer on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And today, Corey, it is today? A once in a year episode.
Yes.
Wherein I do not have to listen to you talk about video games. I have to listen to you talk about not video games, namely sports that I don't watch, movies that I haven't seen.
Correct.
And music that from who knows who.
You might have listened to some of that.
It's a blast and I love it. And it's our favorite time. Yes, everybody. It's our favorite non-gaming things of 2023. Burr, 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 burr. Here it is. This episode is literally one of the only episodes of the year where we don't. Like, Corey is not allowed to say the word video game. And if he does, it's in the podcast is over.
It just ends.
Immediately. It just ends. And we move on.
Yeah.
So if you're here to hear us talk about video games, that's next week's show or last week's show. But if you want to hear us talk about other stuff, you've come to the right place. Corey, how are you doing? We're doing a little time travel here because I'm gonna frame it like we haven't talked super recently, but we actually recorded one of our episodes very recently,
like two nights ago.
It hasn't been all that long.
No,
since I asked last. But how are you, Corey?
I'm good. I'm on vacation time. I don't go back to work till after the new year, which I'm very excited about. I've been gaming, which is nice.
Podcast over. Bye bye.
No, I didn't say the words. I just said gaming. which I'm excited to talk about, what I've been playing, I guess in like 3 weeks, whenever we do that catch up, might be even longer. I don't know. We're going to have it'll probably be a beefy one. All that's to say, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Also now on Christmas time. Yeah. This episode will come out post Christmas.
Yes. So
hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas and you're enjoying
or
holidays. Yeah. I mean, if you celebrate, Christmas is the one that is happening. So if you celebrate one of the other ones, happy almost, your holiday or happy past holiday. Hope you enjoy.
Yes.
But yeah, it's, Christmas is coming soon, which means this episode will release in that weird armpit of a time period between Christmas and New Year's.
New Year's, yeah.
Which is always kind of a strange little liminal space before the like depression of January sets in.
Yeah, where there's just cold.
It's just cold and there's nothing to look forward to.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I say that, but my birthday's in January.
So it is something to look forward to.
Yeah, so it's always a little something. But yeah, it's nice to be out on Christmas, be able to enjoy that a little bit. I think last year, when I was working my job, then it was one of those jobs where it's like they give you the bare minimum level of Christmas where it's like, yeah, you got Christmas off.
Yeah.
And I remember break just kind of being like, this isn't much of a break, is it? This is just nobody's doing anything, so you can kind of be on break, but you have to also still pretend like you're working, which is never fun. So
no, the worst. Yeah.
But
this is not a work podcast. This is not a work podcast.
It might be. You never know.
I think I'm going to
maybe work is my favorite thing in 2023.
That, well, we need to go have a drink and talk about that if that's the case, Chris. Maybe a few drinks.
Actually, I mean, let's lead into it, Corey. Favorite. I'll start off because I mean to not bury the lead of it, but you know if you've listened to this podcast and you've listened to me like just vaguely mention it, this year was busy. And, you know, it took everything in me to have enough of the game time to be able to, like, mm-hmm. devote to things like Tears of the Kingdom and Final Fantasy 16 and, you know, now Baldur's Gate and all of these things. Yes. That it very much was, a lot of other stuff slipped through. It didn't help, like, you know, my wife's not necessarily... We don't always have like the same overlap whenever it comes to movies and stuff. So with how tired we were from like moving into the house and doing all these things, it was very, you know, it was very much like either I was maybe playing something or we were watching some rerun of something to like kind of, you know, let us rest for those 30 minutes before we pass out on the couch. But I joke about it, Corey. I joke about saying that work is my favorite thing of 2023. But I will say, partially because I don't have a lot of stuff to bring to the table.
Fair.
And yeah. I want to contribute something here. Yeah. But I will say, 2023 was beginning of 2023. I started the job that I work now. Mm-hmm. For people that don't know, I am a writer. I work for a marketing agency. And I started that job last January, and it legitimately has been one of my favorite things of 2023. I mean, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is my favorite activity of the year is working. But it legitimately has been the best experience that I've had. Mm-hmm. It's been, you know, day to day is legitimately enjoyable. Made friends. Oh my gosh. From being there. I get paid more to do that job than I have at any other job I've worked. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that has legitimately been like, you know, one of the biggest non-gaming things of my life. Plus a house. That's also been a big thing.
Huge.
I've talked about that enough. I'm not going to dig into it too much, but yeah, a lot of my life happened in 2023, even if it wasn't like entertainment media, even if it wasn't me watching, you know, TV, movies, Barbenheimer, things like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, whenever it comes to just like general life stuff, yeah, this 2023, had some cool moves happening, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, no, to piggyback off that, I just want to say very happy for you, very proud of you. We've been friends for a long time, and I know stepping into that style of job, being able to be just kind of rewarded and complimented and praised in that role, I'm very proud of you. I'm very happy for you because that's huge. Love that for you, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. So Corey, what are you laughing at, Corey?
I'm just loving how you just deflect that. Just like, I mean,
I'm not good.
I know.
I'm not good with compliments.
I know.
I'm not good. Good with praise. So leave me. alone, you dumb dumb.
I'll leave it be.
I do appreciate it. I mean, it's been it has been a huge it made all of the stress of the house a lot a lot easier to know, okay, I don't also hate my job.
Yes.
That's also nice.
It's a win.
So yeah, it's a win. It's been good. But Corey, what do you have? What are you bringing to the table? What have you enjoyed in 2023 that is specifically not a video game, you fool.
Yes. I think I'm going to piggyback also off of something you said just a second ago. I'm going to start with some movies from 2023. Mm-hmm. And you hit the nail on the head with Barbenheimer.
Yeah,
loved that shit. It was so good. For those who don't or didn't listen to the episode, or I guess just don't know. I don't know how you know. But me and a bunch of my friends participated in Barbenheimer, but I guess we did Oppen Barbie, I guess. We saw Oppenheimer first at like a lunch show timing, which because our thoughts of it, okay, let's go ahead and get the folly of man out of the way. Mm-hmm. That way we can like cleanse the taste palette with some very fun Barbie, and it's the correct order. I don't care people did in the other order and they liked it that way better. Oppenheimer to Barbie is the correct order. But all that said, I just loved it so much. It was a great time with friends. We went and got drinks in between. You kind of just like mellow out after a 3-hour Nolan flick into arguably, if not a better movie in Barbie 2.
Okay.
At the end of the day, where you're just laughing, you're loving it all. It's so good. And also just I love that it started as a bit on the internet. And it turned into a full-fledged marketing campaign. The cast and actors, before the strike happened, they were being asked tons of questions about it. Basically, like, the forced bit was, it was forced onto them, and they ran with it. And altogether, I just think it was incredible. It is probably a once in a decade or two decade, if maybe not a lifetime, like, movie mashup release window where it just worked. I feel like the movie industry has tried to force in some other ones and none of them have like worked. And it's not something that like the industry can create. It just was a bunch of people were like, this is hilarious. And what if we did this? And then it turned into basically everyone doing this. And it was wonderful. I loved it. If you haven't seen either, I would say watch either. Both are incredible films. If you don't watch them on the same day, mere hours apart, Oppenheimer, then Barbie, have some drinks in between. Do it with friends. It's a great time. I loved Barbenheimer. It was a highlight of 2023.
Yeah, Barbenheimer was like a massive casualty on my end due to the fact that we were so limited in, like, you know, we had filled up, especially during that period, we had filled up so much of our weekends. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was not only like, I remember you going to see Barbenheimer, but even like my mom and like my sister went to go see Oppenheimer. Like, just, I mean, they weren't interested in going to see Barbie, but like they went to go see Oppenheimer, wanted me to come. I couldn't because it was like, we gotta lay tile, you know? And so I had like multiple opportunities and really wanted to go and see it. And it just, you know, didn't happen while it was in theaters. Now it's on streaming. Now you can watch it. But that was legitimately, though, that was one of the things that, like, Barbenheimer, even though I didn't see it, like, I think the phenomena of Barbenheimer, I think, is a legitimately just awesome and, like, phenomenal thing because it is, like, because it is so organic. And again, coming from somebody who, like, now is in marketing, you interact with a lot of companies. Like, there are a lot of people who I guess are not like super, maybe not super well versed in the internet, but like are not necessarily like super clued into how things become viral or become memes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it really is such an organic process. Like, you can't manufacture Barbenheimer. Like, it's not something that you get, that like somebody behind the scenes can just be like, all right, here's this grand plan for us to create this, like, you know, double feature experience where people are having this, like, you know, blending these worlds together. The fact that it did happen is such a fascinating and interesting thing, especially given the fact, like you said, they are two completely different ends of the spectrum. Like, they are these two different things where it is like very bright, very colorful, and very like subtly, you know, like, I don't know the word for it, but like, you know, very much has a lot to say, but it's much more under the surface. It's using bright colors to kind of like obfuscate that. Whereas like Oppenheimer is very like, you're getting hit in the face with all of this, like, you know, look how terrible we are as people, look at what we've done. And just like seeing that and seeing the dichotomy together, like, is almost kind of like a metaphor almost of like our current day and age of like, you know, look at the horrible things we're doing. And then look at those really bright colors, but they're also kind of like hiding other stuff that's not so great. Yeah. You know, so, and at the end of the day, you know, you just kind of got to roll with it all. And, you know, I don't really know where that train was going. I ended there. But
it works.
I really, and like I said, I feel like I'm more interested in watching like Barbie first, like even whether or not it's like a better movie, quote unquote, who knows, but like legitimately, like, just, you know, it seems like such a smart, fun film. And, you know, I'm super into, like, again, I'm super into like the cultural sachet that it's had. And so, like, you know, now that it's out on streaming and everything like that, I plan to dig into it.
It's a wonderful time. It's just, it is fun. It is smart. I think it has just a very good voice. And I really enjoyed it. And I think a lot of people really enjoyed it. So that's Barbenheimer, probably the best movie combo of the year and movies of the year. There's a few more I want to touch on to highlight our movie segment. There was Into the Spider-Verse, the follow-up of
one? So Into the Spider-Verse was the first one. Across the Spider-Verse was the second one. Yeah.
And then it's Beyond the Spider-Verse. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Across the Spider-Verse, which is the second film of the Spider-Verse trilogy. Again, that's just a wonderful animation, a wonderful art style. I know there's some controversy around, I think, some of the work practices that came from that, but just being like a lot of those people being worked to the bone for that film. And so I don't want to like skirt over that, because that is just poor practices that I feel like are being squashed out of a lot of the entertainment industry. And it's, you don't like to see it when it's still being like that crunch and that like heavy workload is still being pushed onto a lot of people. But there isn't a but, that just sucks. The end result was a phenomenal movie, though. The fact that there were multiple iterations of the movie that were released with different like animation sequences and different lines given, I think is a very interesting feat and concept that they did. I think all around it is a marvel of a movie. Absolutely wonderful. I think everyone who's worked on it, everything that's going on there is just like a brilliant love letter to animation and to the Spider family, and they're doing a great job there. I hope they get their rewards and some rest over there. So,
yeah, which also, again, is another glaring omission, given how much I love Into the Spider-Verse. I mean, not just as a lover of Spider-Man, but as a like lover of animation and just cool things, like Into the Spider-Verse is unrivaled. And so with Across the Spider-Verse being this, you know, much bigger kind of, you know, expanded version of that, you know, it's still, I haven't seen it. You know, it's, I blame my wife, honestly. as one should. So, yeah. but the, yeah, I also want to see Across the Spider-Verse because it looks dope.
It is dope. My wife loved the first one. She hasn't seen the second one yet. I have two more movies to shout out. And then I'll cede the floor to you. So another movie that came out this year was the Dungeons and Dragons movie starring Chris Pine. Which is, I personally loved it to death. It has great reviews. It encapsulated what it's like to be at a D&D table, the crazy hijinks, the stupid schemes, the overpowered DM NPC, the MacGuffins. Everything about it was an absolute homage to just people at the table. Yeah. I've seen there's talks of they want to do a sequel. I would love a sequel where it's just the same cast playing different characters in a different setting and mm-hmm. like keeping that feeling. I don't know if they'll do something like that or if they'll continue with their band of thieves. But I think it just nailed it, what it's like to play the game, and they nailed everything about it. I loved it so much. If you haven't seen it and D&D isn't your thing, or you don't really know what it is, just give it a watch. It's a great movie in general. And I think it plays and subverts a lot of the fantasy tropes in like good ways and not in like cheesy, tacky ways.
Also a movie I really wanted to see despite not being a huge D&D person, but, Chris Pine is legitimately like one of the most underrated Chris's out there.
He might be the best Chris.
I mean, I'm the best Chris, but he's number two.
Talking about the quad of those.
Right. Out of the Pine, the Pratts, the Evans. Hemsworth, and the Evans, Pine is very underrated. And I think should
For a long time, I think he was number four. I think he's number one right now. In my book, he's number one at least.
He is great in so much stuff. Like I remember, I think like one of the roles, like weirdly, that I loved him in. Did you ever see Into the Woods whenever that came out?
No.
Okay. Was it Into the Woods? Is that right? Am I saying that wrong?
I thought Chris Evans was in that.
No. Into the Woods, 2014. It was a musical adaptation of the Broadway musical, mm-hmm. Where it's a lot of like blending of fairy tales and mm-hmm. stuff. And Meryl Streep's in it, Johnny Depp's in it for a little while, Emily Blunt, and a lot of big names and stuff. But Chris Pine is in it, and he plays like one of the Prince Charmings, and just has like, you know, these. He's great in it. They're like these. There's this. He has a really great song number with one of the other Prince Charmings. It's super great. And Chris Pine, like in a lot of his stuff, just hits it out of the park. He's also, fun fact, he's in a rom-com with Tom Hardy, old Venom over there, and Reese Witherspoon. Also fun, called Something About War. This Means War. He plays, the name of his character is FDR. I forgot about that one. Okay. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. He's in that. So go look it up. Chris Pine needs more love. Yes, he does. He's a great man.
He is, I think. I like to think he is.
Yeah. I mean, he's seen in interviews and stuff, like he seems like such a like likable guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, I'd agree with that. My final movie of our movie segment is a movie we got to actually see together, Chris. And that was, without saying the word, the Super Mario Brothers movie. Which also featured
about the Super Mario Brothers movie.
It also featured a Chris. And that was just a
perhaps the now considered maybe the worst Chris, but you know, depending on
the worst Chris. It depends on where you stand.
Where you are. Yeah.
So Super Mario Brothers movie, we got to see it. I think it was a delight. Very fun. Some of the like random 80s pop rock songs interjected throughout the movie kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Outside of that though, I think they nailed it. I thought, sadly, Chris Pratt did a decent job as Mario. He had the opportunity to be really bad and be incredibly like high meme potential, but he held his own. Jack Black killed it as Bowser, and all around, I think they made a not a great movie. I'm not going to go out on the limb and say it's great, it's a masterpiece or anything like that, but they made a really good movie. And I enjoyed being able to see it with you and for us to spend that time together and to see the movie, and all around, it's a highlight of my year of 2023.
Yeah. I've actually now seen Super Mario Brothers movie like a dozen times because my daughter loves it. And so she watches it. She's super into just Mario in general at this point. And so like I introduced it to her whenever it came out on DVD, and she, because for that reason, like we had seen it in theaters, and I was like, it's like, you know, she could probably dig on this, and she really enjoys it. And yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where like, I feel like to an extent, there's an asterisk on it where it's like, it's a good movie, but, and because I mean, it is like, it's just kind of part of the trappings of like adapting games to film. Yeah. Like it's, you know, it's just kind of part of how things are, and you know, they're weird, like pacing things, and there's stuff that's like shoehorned in that feels a little weird here and there, but like it really is such a fun movie. And the fact that, like, you know, I got tired of them for years and years at every direct, you know, having this like, you know, we're just going to talk about it for a second, like no new trailer, no new info, just like, let's the Mario movie, you know, it's coming up, like, but I'm happy that it got like a level of love and a level of like care that it deserves, and I hope that they do continue like having kind of a Nintendo verse of things where they can like kind of expand that out and make like a Zelda movie or more Mario movie, or, you know, whatever it is, to kind of like, cause Nintendo, I mean, it is incredibly weird that there are not more Nintendo films, given
there's gonna be
like, yeah, now, but given the fact that it's taken this long for Nintendo with how many like recognizable characters they have to get to this point is, truly bizarre. So
I agree. Yeah, I'm excited for the Legend of Zelda movie. Don't love that it's live action, or like at least that's what's being reported, but still excited for that. But that's my movie wrap up, Chris.
Love it.
Is there anything you want to add to it?
Not to movies, but we will transition into the poor man's movie, Corey, also called The Television. Again, there were a lot of shows this year that I wanted to watch, and didn't. But one of the ones that I did, I was trying to think of a segue into something else, and then my brain just broke. No, one of the things that I did watch was The Bear. Hulu, FX, show, came out. First season came out. We watched The Bear this year.
Yeah.
The first season came out last year, and then the second season came out this year. But The Bear, for anybody that's unaware, is a show, what's his name? Jeremy Allen White.
Yep.
Who, if you watch Shameless, that's his other like kind of big thing. Mm-hmm. But he is like he's a young, you know, highly trained Michelin star like chef.
Yeah.
He like grew up in Chicago, and all of his family's there. And after his brother passes away, he inherits his just little Italian little sandwich shop, and starts has to take over, you know, all of his brother's business and staff, but also at the same time his debts and his traumas and all of these other things. And so it's a very like, you know, it is as much like a kitchen drama as it is like a family drama and all of these other things. It's only two seasons, but I think each season is like 10 episodes, so it's a very like,
I think the first season is actually 8. And really, season 2 is 10.
So it's a pretty like short little run, but it's a lot of like the first season especially is him just trying to get his like get everything stable and running, make sure the place doesn't get shut down, and also like earning the respect of these people that, you know, don't know him and think that he's kind of this you know, stuck up guy coming in to change how everything's done. And then the second season is them kind of like trying to make the place better. Like, now it's stable, why don't we actually try to like do better now? And make this like, you know, good restaurant, really like cool restaurant. And it's just like all of the everything in it, like the characterization, all of the scenes, like some of the, I've never worked in the restaurant industry. I've worked a little bit in like adjacent food industries, but I've never worked like in a restaurant kitchen. And I've heard like multiple people who have be like, yeah, that's like, this is like, this is the closest I've gotten. I feel like has been gotten whenever it comes to like fictionalized television to like, this is what it's like. Like, it's very, you know, it's very like secondhand stress where like it feels very stressful. You feel, even though it's like relatively small stakes, like they're sitting here, they have to get this order out, or there's an episode where like they do like, whether it's like online orders or like mobile orders, and that gets weird, and it gets like super, they're like flooding in, and they're having to navigate this, like getting all of these tickets straight and having to make all of this food in an insane amount of time. Like, you know, there's stuff like that, and the stakes are relatively low, but it feels very high stress. Each of the characters, like, you know, is incredibly well developed to where they have, like, even though they're all working in this thing, and it's a small restaurant and a small business where, you know, you would kind of assume like each of them are just getting by. They're just kind of like there for the paycheck. They all do have their own aspirations. Like, there's a character, I can't remember his name, but he's like the desserts guy. Yeah. He makes the cakes. Like, that's his whole thing. And the second season has his like, has a whole arc where he travels overseas and like works, like gets trained in this
Marcus.
In desserts. Yeah, Marcus. He gets trained in desserts, and he like has this whole thing where he's like, he's really learning to appreciate like growing and perfecting this craft. He's not just there to make bread. Now he's like inventing these dope ass desserts and like trying to put his mark on the world and stuff. And like, you know, all of the characters have some level of that, which is, I think, incredibly ambitious, and they do, you know, a super good job just across the board. And it has a really like super strong cast. I mean, a lot of the cast is kind of like somewhat unknown-ish. Like, it's either people you've like seen somewhere else or people that you've never really seen. But there are like a number of cameos, like a number of Carmi is the main character, Jeremy Allen White's character, but like his family, like there's some flashbacks. There's a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. there's a Christmas episode, and they're like, you know, his a number of the like family members there are like very recognizable actors. Very recognizable. So it's like, it's a lot of, you know, you're getting to see a lot of these faces kind of pop in here and there that you're like, oh, I know them. Oh, I know them. Oh, what are they doing?
What's going
on? So it's right. So it's a really cool thing just to kind of like watch unfold all the way through. So.
Yeah, the Bear season 2 is also going to be on my highlights as well. I don't know if I can say much more than you have just now, other than it's just absolutely incredible. It is like secondhand stress inducing, for sure. But yeah, some of the main cast, like I'm going to mispronounce her name, but Ayo Edebiri, who plays Sydney the sous chef.
I think I've
mispronounced that. She was also in Theater Camp, which is another movie actually I would like to highlight just briefly. Me and my wife saw it. She loved it. It's like 90 minutes. Phenomenal, phenomenal movie, Theater Camp. It's on a couple streaming platforms. I think it's on Hulu. Absolutely watch it. Very feel good movie. But back to The Bear. It is genuinely probably one of the best shows I think I've watched. Everything about it, the production value, the acting, the pressure you feel in the moment along with the cast. Very few shows I think can like capitulate that and like wrap you around their finger during these scenes. I don't know if anyone can do it how The Bear does it, especially if you listen to this after Christmas and you haven't watched The Bear, watch it and get to the Seven Fishes episode, because it is a Christmas episode. And so if you want to get in the season, watch that. And that's the one with a bunch of the cameos, but that is a mess of an episode in the best and most awful way ever imaginable. And it might be one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen. And that might sound like hyperbole, but for someone who's watched a lot of television shows, including The Sopranos, Game of Thrones, Marvelous Miss Maisel, which I'm going to talk about, XYZ, like it might be one of the best episodes in television. It's absolutely incredible. The Bear is absolutely incredible. Absolutely watch it. It's great.
Yeah. What other TV have you seen this year, Corey?
I'll follow it up. Because I just mentioned it, and we just finished it like 10 minutes, 15 minutes before we started recording. But The Marvelous Miss Maisel ended this year with season 5. Yep. And so I feel like I can kind of talk about the show as a whole. I do think, so The Marvelous Miss Maisel follows the main character is Midge Maisel, played by Rachel Brunsworth, I believe.
I think it's like Brosnanahan.
Brosnanahan. You nailed it. Who plays the Marvelous Miss Maisel, where the series follows her trying to create a stand-up career for herself, to be a stand-up comic in the 1960s. And it goes into like what that is like for a woman to compete in a field full of men, to be like a woman in the 60s. And it is a hilarious, laugh out loud, amazing feel good show. I think the first two seasons are probably my favorite. Like it loses its way a little in seasons 3 and 4. But in season 5, I think it like brings it back around and absolutely wonderfully sticks the landing. I am, like I said, I'm just coming off of finishing it like right before we started recording. And so I have a lot of like feelings and emotions about it. But all around, I think when you watch, I think a show like The Marvelous Miss Maisel, it is such a warm, kind-hearted show that like I would absolutely just rewatch this almost immediately. It's one of those things where it's just like it just feels good to watch. And I'll talk about another show probably right after this. That's a little bit in the reverse of that. But I really, really enjoy shows and movies and television, especially nowadays where I feel like there's a lot of pressure to subvert expectations. There's a lot of pressure to keep the audience guessing. To maybe not end in a way that everyone would like, because that's quote unquote like the realistic ending. But for a show to embrace like the happy nature of life, like the wholeheartedness nature of life, and like things can be good and things can be great, and things do work out for people, and like things go well. And it is a show that like really embraces that. And don't get me wrong, it has its lows for sure throughout the series. But ultimately, I just found it very touching. And for just a show to end that way, I think, just meant a lot for me, having seen just a lot of, like, not depressing endings, but just being like, why? Yes, that makes sense, but, like, do we have to kick everybody in the teeth before we get out of here? Like, is that really the route we have to go down? Yeah. And so The Marvelous Miss Maisel, I think, is just wonderful. It's marvelous. I think everyone should watch it. It had been hyped up for years, effectively. It's won loads and loads of Emmys, deservedly, and meets the hype. Absolutely. Go check it out. Especially during, like, this cold winter season. And much of season 5 takes place in, like, the winter around Christmas and all of that, too. Go watch it. Enjoy it. Love it. Watch it unfold.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we have not seen the latest season, but we watched, I know, the first 3 back to back, whenever 3 was brand new, and then watched 4. And, it really is. I mean, I'm like you said, I'm sure it'll flip as we continue talking about other stuff that came out this year, that is kind of the, like, complete opposite. But it is one of those things that we've talked about at different points, where it's like, sometimes you do need games or media of some sort that is just kind of, like, embracing some level of optimism, or if not optimism, like, some level of hope, you know, like, that isn't so focused on, like, showing, like, this, I guess, for lack of a better word, like, a nihilistic kind of approach to things, where it's like, let's show you how bad things are or can be. And then once we get there, let's show you that people, when people are given the choice between being, like, better people or even worse, they're gonna be worse. Like, you know, like, and so, like, having stuff like that, especially as I've gotten older, like, having some of those things that are just, like, they inject you, like, there's plenty of drama and, you know, things that are happening in Marvelous Miss Maisel, but it is a thing where it's like, there is a level of hope and optimism to what is going on, that it's like, it does ultimately feel good, and it does make you, like, really kind of root for what's going on.
The whole time I was fully in Midge's corner, stunning. I'll just leave it at that. Go watch it. On the reverse, because we mentioned it, and I feel like it's pointed to talk about it, would be Succession season 4. Came out this year, and I love Succession. I'm not here to dunk on it. I'm going to talk about why I like it. So Succession season 4 is the final season of Succession. Rough year when it comes to, I guess, like, incredible television when you think about it. You know, Succession ended, Marvelous Miss Maisel ended. I haven't seen Barry, so we're not going to talk about Barry. You might talk about Barry if you've seen Barry. But that also ended.
I have seen, like, season 1 of Barry, so I've not seen new Barry.
Gotcha. To Succession, it wrapped up this year, and I think in a very fitting fashion for the story. I think season 4, I think where, like, seasons 1 and 2 are great, season 3 a little iffy. Season 4, like, really brings it home in a massive way. I think season 4 is filled with, again, a star-studded cast. You have Alexander Skarsgård, who's in season 3, but kind of just right at the end, take a very prominent role as one of the main antagonists of the season. I think entirely throughout it, you see some of, like, the greatest acting between like Jeremy Strong. Is it Kieran McLaughlin?
Yes. Kieran McCulkin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Kieran. I didn't mean to mispronounce your name, McCulkin. I should know that. And then
Brother is on the has a Hollywood star now, you dumb. You better get it right.
My bad. And then Sierra Snook as Shiv Roy, as the three Roy siblings. Sorry, four. I don't want to forget Connor. That would he would not like that. As
he would not appreciate that.
Yeah. Was it Alan Ruck?
Alan Ruck. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's on Ferris Bueller's. He's also in a couple of other things. But yeah, I think it's just some of like this is high art. I don't want to be like that, but it is like very high end TV, like almost movie level quality in how they filmed this. It is just absolutely what's the word, like so captivating to watch. Like this, will this empire fall or these kids rise up to meet the challenge? Can the succession happen? Which is what the whole series is focused on. And I think it was incredible. I don't want to spoil the ending for anyone, but I think it ended very fittingly. Maybe not in a way I liked, but at the end, I'm like, it makes sense. This is most likely what's going to happen. Kind of sucks, but I can't say it's wrong. But still, it's so good. Matthew McFadden as Tom Wamscans. I don't know.
Iconic character of the 2020s.
Iconic. I've seen shirts with him and cousin Greg. Oh, Greg the Egg. He is my favorite character in the show. But I've seen people wearing like the Disgusting Brothers t-shirts, like out and about, because that's what they call themselves on the show. And I love that. I think that's amazing. But he should win an Emmy, like, for his role as Tom Wamscans, because there are very few characters that can make you literally want to like crawl into a corner out of like secondhand cringe of like, but also like someone who is like comes across so genuine in moments and is also just you're kind of scared of at the same time. The way he can just deliver lines just has you everywhere on all the spectrum of emotion. I'm honestly very sad that Succession ended after four seasons. You don't want to milk it for all it's worth, but at the end of the day, I'm like, you could have gotten more out of this, people. Like, this is phenomenal. This is great. That's how I kind of felt about Maisel as well. But yeah, Succession, like, I hate to see it go. I'm excited to see whatever those showrunners. Oh, I can't remember the showrunners' names. Let's see here. Just typing it up really quick. Jesse Armstrong. I said Jesse Armstrong for Kendall Roy. That's Jeremy Strong. My bad. Jesse Armstrong, the showrunner. I think I've seen he's working on something else for HBO, like a new show or something like that. I would be very excited to see what he's doing. Yep. Because Succession was just chef's kiss.
Succession has like a very, maybe not like very similar, but it has somewhat similar energy to something like White Lotus, where there is this level of there's like something. Whenever you think of something like Game of Thrones, for example, it has all of this political intrigue, but it is very self-serious. Like it's a very serious, borderline kind of like grimdark sort of tale where it's like everybody's bad, but like you're gonna feel the muck of it.
Yeah.
You're going to feel like the dirt and the grime, and you're gonna get drugged through this, and you're gonna, you know, with episodes like Battle of the Bastards, where it's like the suffocation of things, like you feel all of this, and it's like Succession and White Lotus are like those themes operating on the completely other side of the coin, where it is like you are seeing the same level of like, you know, I mean, the first thing that brought me to Succession in the first place, whenever, like, because I've seen the first three seasons, didn't see the newest one. But that was one of the things that got me to it in the first place was, like, I think I had read some article where they were like, Succession is HBO's new Game of Thrones. And I was like, what? I was like, what? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? And it really is. Like, it's all of those, like, the political nature, the power, like, struggle that you really do, that I think is at the core of some of the best stories in Game of Thrones, is what this is. I think the thing that, like, that could potentially, like, let Succession live on better in people's memories, like, and have a stronger finish, is, for one, like, the fact that I think it's to its benefit that it goes on for only four seasons instead of, like, outstaying its welcome. But also at the same time, like, the fact that it's so, like, just like White Lotus, like, it's able to blend this, like, you know, just scathing commentary and these really, like, tragic kind of either scenes or situations, but blend them with such, like, hilarious levels of humor where you are, like, openly laughing about things, even though you're like, this is terrible. these are terrible people. It is such a fine line to walk to be able to do that. And Succession, like, does it just perfectly across the board, like, the whole way through. And so it is a fantastic show for anybody who's doesn't have swords like Game of Thrones. But you know, it's the next best thing you got. What's the main castle in is it King's Landing? No, King's Landing is what I'm thinking of. Yeah,
the Red Keep.
It's King's Landing minus all the swords and the dragons. Just look at it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's Succession. A great way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's phenomenal. I got two more shows quickly to touch on. There was Wheel of Time season 2 came out. I am a gargantuan Wheel of Time fan. I've only read the series once, but I really want to reread it again. And it's 15 books long, so that should tell you everything you need to know. I need to, like, backpedal here for just a brief second. I don't really like the adaptation. I think it's not a good adaptation, if I'm being, like, really honest. But at the end of the day, I know this is the show's, or this this series, this book series, only chance to have a, like, live action or, like, show medium. And so I want to support it because I want to see them, like, continue to, like, I think they've nailed the casting perfectly. I just think how they've adapted a lot of the storylines feel, like, just very dishonest to the source material. And, like, but they've stated that they changed some things, but they're hoping to be more, like, in line with the books going forward. They're skipping book 3 to go to book 4, which I'm kind of about. Nothing really happens in book 3. It's a lot of walking and running. And I'm excited to see what they do. I'm excited to see, and I'm hoping to see, that they stay a little bit closer to, like, the source material, which it sounds like they will be. But again, they nailed the cast. They nailed the feeling of the world. And I'm hoping with a couple more seasons, because I think their aim is to do, like, 8 seasons, is what I've seen. And, like, after book 4, really combine, like, books together, like, books 5 and 6 are going to be together, 7 and 8, so on and so forth, which, again, having read all of the books, you can really do that, except for maybe the last season. All that's to say, I really enjoy the Wheel of Time. I kind of, like, and I've seen a lot of people word it this way, it's a new turning of the wheel. And if you've read the series, it makes a lot of sense to view it that way. This is just a different turning of it. But I'll always plug the Wheel of Time. That is a literal sprint. But again, it is 15 books. So,
Corey, would you like to guess how many pages are in the entire series?
It's got to be a lot. I mean, it can't not be a lot.
This is according to audible.com.
So we're at 14 books. We're only touching the 1,000 page mark in the final three, which Sanderson wrote. Which I think he did a very good job. I don't know if he did a great job. But he did a very good job. I'm going to say like 16,000.
Not too far, about 12,000.
Okay. So, I mean, pretty far off, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ish, but you know, I mean, it's like, books. It's hard to guess whenever you have that many books. But yeah, according to readinglength.com, it would take somebody with an average 250 words per minute of reading about 173 hours to read all of the books. And if you were to listen to it on audible.com, all the audiobooks would take you 19 days to listen to.
I think I read it over the course of about 10 months.
Okay.
I think it's about how long it took me to read them. And I would read about an hour every day to every other day, I would say.
Okay.
I always read on my lunch breaks, effectively.
Yeah.
I guess books 7, 8, and nine, like Crown of Swords, Winter's Heart, and Path of Daggers are pretty short. Crossroads to Twilight is pretty short, too, as it should be. It's the worst book. It sucks. I'm not even going to like pretend it doesn't. I mean, it's a lot of pages. It's really good, though. You should read it. There isn't a slog. Don't believe the slog.
No.
The slog does not exist. Crossroads to Twilight does suck. The slog only existed because people were waiting in between books and things happen at the books in those books, but it's just not a lot's happening. Don't believe in the slog. It doesn't exist.
I got you. Mm-hmm. I feel you.
And then, sorry, one final thing one final show was The Last of Us, which came out beginning this year. I don't know what more I can really say about it. It's a fairly one-to-one adaptation of the show. They do take some, I think, better directions in terms of some stories. Bill and Frank, also probably one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen. Really changes up that story a little bit. It's implied their relationship in the show or in the game, but I think they just make it infinitely better in the show. I thought all around they nailed it. Casting was perfect. I'm excited for season two. I guess I'm not the biggest fan of part two. We've had that discussion before, but still, at the end of the day, it's one of my favorite games, and I think they did a wonderful job with the series.
Yeah. Still have not seen it. I've been less excited to see that. I think largely because it is just. I've played The Last of Us. I think if it were like we talked about this whenever it was coming out, but like the episode that I think made me the most interested was Bill's episode because it was one of the only episodes, at least that I'm aware of, that does kind of like expand things beyond what you see in the game. And that's, I think I would be much more excited if there were more of those kind of things, if it wasn't so like, you know, it's you're watching the game. That's partially why I haven't hopped on it, but I will watch it at some point.
Yeah. No, if you don't even watch the whole series, I'd still watch Bill and Frank. It's a very self-contained episode. Yep. So I'd give it a look. That's all the TV I got for you, Chris.
All right. What else you got, Corey? What about the even poorer man's movie, the music.
The music?
The radio.
The radio?
The radio.
I have
what you got? You got any music that you've been digging on this year?
So I talked about them last year, but Hippocampus released a EP, Wasteland. Five songs.
Did they release another one?
It came out early this year, I think like April.
Gosh, Corey.
I absolutely adored it. Between Moonshine's the opening, and they take a very like country music approach to it. It's like a little bit of country with like Moonshine and Honeysuckle are like these like country pop songs. But Yippie Ki Yay and Kick in the Teeth are absolutely like Yippie Ki Yay is a monster of a song.
Okay.
It opens with my understanding of like a sequence to how Yellowstone opens.
Goodness.
And they nail it, and the end is this massive, bombastic like fit of like passion and rage. And then Kick in the Teeth is just like a very like just classic country song. I put it on. My wife was like, "This is Hippocampus." Like, I would expect to hear this like on like just a regular country radio station. Like, yeah. It opens with like my neighbor Tommy bought a 6-pack. We're on his porch, just kicking them back. which like if you're hearing that and you like country music, you're like, I hate this man. They despise me. But I grew up on a farm, so you can bounce off.
you can go suck one.
Yeah. I grew up on a
dumb dumb.
I know what I'm talking about. So yeah, it's phenomenal. 5 songs, give it a listen. There was also Boy Genius, who released the record this year. Boy Genius is Phoebe Bridgers, Julie Baker, and I'm gonna always forget her name. Lucy Davis.
Okay. I wasn't aware of Boy. I mean, I know all of those people, but I am not familiar with Boy Genius.
How are you not familiar with Boy Genius?
I don't know, Corey. I just am not.
are you punking me?
No, I'm not. No, I mean, maybe I've heard something from Boy Genius. I mean, I've heard something from each of them individually as artists, but yeah. I'm not. But oh, wow. They make original music under the Boy Genius name.
Okay. You are living under a rock out there, man.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they
I'm living on a further farm way out here.
So, time to get into the lore of this.
Boy Genius.
Boy Genius was originally what they were, and then they broke up. They've done all their solo projects over the years, and now they're back together.
I wasn't even aware of that.
And yeah, they released an album called The Record. It's shocking. It's good. It's really good. We got to see them in concert just up the road. And yeah, it's a phenomenal album. I adored it. I think it was probably my most listened to album this year. I can't remember. It was either that or Wasteland. I can't remember on my, I use Apple Music. Sorry, not sorry. I got my like Apple year in review. And I can't remember. It was one of those two. It was number one. But yeah, it's good. You should listen to it, Chris.
Phoebe Bridgers especially I like. So I just wasn't aware. Who knew?
Yeah. My favorite song from the album was True Blue. Or Satanist, either or. Take your pick. Both very, very good. And then one more album that really caught my attention was Holly Humberstone's Paint My Bedroom Black. Mm-hmm. She is like a British pop singer. She's released a couple of EPs in the past that I've really enjoyed. This album's, I think, a really good debut album. And yeah, it rocks. It's just like, it's very emo, not like super emo, but like pop, like emo. Into Your Room is just a phenomenal little pop song with a really catchy beat that like just is an earworm. It gets stuck in your head. All around, just a great time. Also listen to that.
Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's my music. Or the albums, like, I think I would highlight that I listen to the most this year, most likely.
Yeah. My, obviously, Corey, my music is not that hip.
Sorry.
I'm just trying to pull up my, let me pull up my Spotify Wrapped really quick. See what we got on here, Corey. If it'll pull up, it's been a minute since they did the Wrapped, so it may not be super easy to find. Who knows?
You're fine. Take your time.
Yeah, most of mine were. So a lot of mine were like lo-fi things because of from work. But then I also have stuff like I got really into The Weeknd this year.
Really?
So yeah.
like the pop singer Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
Like Blinding Lights, The Weeknd.
Yeah, I mean, not Blinding Lights specifically, but that that artist. Specifically his Dawn FM album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got into. So that was you
as a fan of The Weeknd.
I wouldn't even call myself like a fan of The Weeknd, but like I dig that album. So that's on there a bit.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah. Looking through it, King Princess on there.
Yeah, King Princess is great.
Yeah, Lainey's on there. Khalid is on there.
Is it Khalid? I always said Khaled.
Well, I think DJ Khaled is Khaled. I think the guy.
Yeah.
I think the guy that's just what looks like Khaled, I think actually pronounces it Khalid.
Oh my God. You just like jump scared me with that. Yeah. I think you're probably right.
DJ Khaled.
I think I'm going to side with you here. Yeah. Khalid.
Yeah. Right. I think it's Khalid. Yeah. 1975's on there. There's some Jonas Brothers on there.
Ah, I love the Jonas Brothers. The new album was not that good though.
Yeah, I dug. I think they were on. I made a summer playlist and they had some good tracks that I put on there for like a just kind of like a bright poppy thing. Also, listen to a lot of kind of upbeat funk jazz. So Lawrence, if you're familiar with them. Bruno Sammy Mars. Ray and the Friends. Less Bruno. I mean, I do listen to Bruno Mars, but less that.
Yeah.
Corey Wong is also like a, he's a big funk guitarist. So there were a number of those on there. So like, you know, I'm not listening to the oldies, Corey.
No.
Just didn't listen to a ton of 2023. There's BTS on here. There's Post Malone. Yeah. Band Camino.
Okay.
There's Persona 5 on here, Corey.
Yeah, there is.
Noah Kahan. I also got really into Noah Kahan this year. Ironically not his Stick Season. Like I think it's a good album, but like I just like started listening to him and actually like liked some of his like, you know, new but not the newest stuff. So also dig him. And then music, Corey.
Well, to end our music segment, I did get to see Taylor Swift's Eras Tour this year. And that is a 3-hour spectacle.
Yeah.
Best show I've ever seen.
It's also a moment of the year for sure.
Might be like it's up there. But yeah, it was a wonderful time. Probably the best show I've ever seen. And it's insane how good it was. She was Times Person of the Year, which is a silly title. But she owned the year regardless of that or not. Deservedly so, I would say. And yeah, great time.
Love it, Corey. Yeah. Do you have anything else that you want to highlight?
I am our resident sportsman.
Yes, we need our soccer update of the year.
Yeah, and so Manchester United fan. They are going through it a bit this season. We're not good. I'm just going to be really blunt. Or pretty bang average. But still, won the Carabao Cup this year, which is the League Cup, which is a 10-pot trophy, but it's a trophy that other people don't have, which is a win. It's the first trophy since 2018, 2017, I think. Also huge. So nice to be back on track. Back on track is a very loose word to have that in the cabinet. And I got to go to Old Trafford this year, which is probably my highlight of the year. And like to watch them live in person win, from a center back goal, Victor Lindelof. Iceman. And, yeah, that was probably my moment of the year. Just being able to do that, because that's like a bucket list thing. Like, I fully intend to go back and see more games there, but that isn't like a guaranteed by any means. Like, I have the intention. And to be able to do that was just amazing. Like, truly amazing. A moment I will never forget.
Mm-hmm.
So,
love it.
Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful, Corey.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I've read plenty of books this year that didn't come out this year, so I don't want to highlight those in our 2023. Also bought a house this year, which was nice. And right at the beginning of the year. And tore my ACL. Tore my ACL.
Also memorable.
Yeah, had surgery. I'm already back. I'm running around. Not playing soccer anymore because I've torn both ACLs, and I don't want to do it again. So I'm playing golf, which is, I guess, a highlight of 2023.
Yeah.
I don't have any clubs for 2023. My newest club is my driver, and it was made in 2004.
Okay.
So.
As we've learned about Chris's musical taste, the oldies are the besties.
Yeah, it works. I can bomb a drive, so.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, I don't have much else, Corey. My year has been a lot of life, and maybe next year I will catch up on some cool shows and music.
I'll make sure he stays hip, people.
Yeah, guys. I will pretend that I'm under 30. With the guy who actually is. So don't worry, everybody. But Corey, always love having this little chat with you. Next week begins part one of the Goaty discussions. Get excited for it, everybody. It's going to be a two-parter and it's going to be beefy.
It's going to be really long, probably.
It's gonna be beefy. There are gonna be a lot of honorable mentions. So strap in, get excited. Hey, send us an email ahead of time. See if you can guess what Corey's game of the year.
That's too easy.
Top 10 is. Yeah. Well, get the top 10.
Yeah.
If you get the top 10, Corey will send you, he'll blow you a kiss, seal it in an envelope, and mail it to you.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Please send that along. You can do that at arcadecozy@gmail.com.
Yes, you can.
Corey, where can people find you on the internet if they want to find you on the internet?
They can probably find me at arcadecozy@gmail.com. But they can also find me on Instagram at hash.slinging.thrasher. If you followed me, you saw my board night post the other night. We did a Christmas party with a lot of boards, filled with good stuff. That was a great time. I baked a lot of cookies because I love baking.
It looked beautiful. I loved it.
Thank you. I try. We're kin. So I still understand people can't find you on the internet. So who should they find on the internet this week for us, Chris?
You should, you know, if you were also unaware that they existed, Boy Genius.
Yes.
Follow them on Instagram at X Boy Genius X. You know, very, very old classic handle there. Follow them, I guess. Just to remind yourself that this is not in fact a dream, and these are people that are working together. So sometimes you need that. Corey, I'm excited. I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday, and we are going to do some cool stuff here over the next couple of weeks. But until then, Corey, this has been Arcade Cozy. Life is hectic. Why should your hobbies be too?
Video games.
Ooh. No! Cut it.